Thanks for listening to the audio of 717 Church. This is a place where we continually strive to worship Jesus as the King with our lives, wreck our personal kingdoms to build His kingdom, and live out God's Word in the way that we interact with others. For more information, please visit 717.church.
Good morning. We're the Wangers, and this is Corinne. I'm Jordan, Brooklyn, Colson, and Dalton. Corinne's going to read scripture.
And I'm going to read from my phone because we determined I'm a bulletin keeper, and I didn't want that to all fall out of my Bible. We're reading Zephaniah 3:15-17. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He's cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing."
So if you want to turn your Bibles, we'll be in Zephaniah. Yes, that is a real book. How many of you learned that there's actually an extra book in the Bible you didn't know was there? Come on. Yeah, amen. That was me too. All right. So get out your Bibles. We're going to be in Zephaniah chapter, and we're going to kind of finish in chapter 3 if you want to hang out there. But a couple things to work through before we get there. Number one, celebrating the win that was getting leaders for camp for maybe 5th and 6th. Is that right? For... second of fifth.
Second
of fourth. Anyway. We have leaders. That's all that you need to know. We're glad. So that's a blessing. And exciting, especially given a couple of days throughout the summer. And as we step into things, so we are here. We've been blessed to be here. God has been very kind to us. It is abnormal what this whole process has looked like, which means when we move into the new building, that's going to look just as abnormal. For two churches to choose to share space together is not normal. That is a God thing. And so we're walking into this going, man, okay, God, what else do you want to do? Because we believe that the mission that God has given us is to follow him, to wreck our kingdoms, to build his, all take steps together, build relationship, all those things. And so that's what God's calling you to. And so when we walk through scripture together, we are seeing constantly what God is doing and has done since the beginning of time. And so you all are stepping into that. And so as we do this together, that means there's little bits of things that we're going to step in together, okay? So the good news is I want to start with my time with correcting myself. From a couple weeks ago, I was waved over right before service this morning, and I miscounted on the number of people that were currently pregnant, and so they wanted me to correct it. It is only 6 families, and so there was a big deal to them, so they wanted to make sure that we knew and understood that. Okay, but as we get into scripture today, it matters because we hear scripture often, and we apply it based off of what we're going through, not necessarily what God is calling us to, okay? And so Zephaniah, if you're like me, is probably a little bit of a continuation of the last couple books that we've read. So how many of you, if we're honest, have gone, oh my word, is there another book of the Bible that talks about the death of everybody, and I'm so tired of hearing everybody dying? Anybody else? Yes. Good. Okay. So we're honest, right? And so when we talk about scripture, though, if you're like me, a lot of times we hear what God is doing and not necessarily what he's calling us to. Okay? So, yes, God is at work. And so this week, for a little pep in my step, I read John 3:16 a couple extra times to make me feel good. God so loved the world, right? That, and just made me feel better and prepped me a little bit as we get into this together. Okay, but if we're not clear on scripture, why it matters, how it applies, then we don't get the whole of scripture, and then we don't get the whole of who God is, right? So if you settle for just portions of it, you settle for just a portion of God, and you don't understand the fullness is our God, and then we worship the portions of God that we like, right? And so the whole of scripture is a constant work for God to get glory and to draw us back to himself. And I can easily miss that. So thank you for journeying through scripture with me. Thank you for diving into this. And that's why I love stuff like the Bible Project that helps us understand the whole of scripture and helps us gather together and understand, okay? So my hope is for us to have a larger understanding of scripture, of who God is, because the more that I focus on the bigness of God, the more I will surrender to him. You ever spend time just thinking, you know what? The more I think about how big God is, the more I realize I should trust him. The more I understand there's more to him than I actually give him credit for, the more that I actually should trust him. Make sense? Because all, if you understand all, like it's like, wow, that is incredible. It should drive intimacy. Right? If you are in awe of the person that you're close to, you usually get closer to them. Right? I love that about them. I want to be around them more. The same is true of God. Man, the bigness of God, the hugeness, the fact that he's been worked since the beginning of time, the fact that he is at work loving us, it should drive intimacy. But obedience builds relationship. All drives intimacy. But the day-to-day grind of your relationship, how many of us have relationships where we completely ignore the other person says and actually have a good relationship? Doesn't work, right? Obedience, right? Obedience must happen in order to drive a relationship. It has to happen. For many of us, we say, oh yeah, I love God, but I don't ever do what he says. Okay? So let me tell you a story. Fresh out of Bible college, you come out of Bible college, you think you know everything, you are a fool, okay? That's who I was. Came out of Bible college, started volunteering at a church, started volunteering in student ministry. Some of the kids that I started volunteering with then, I've still had the blessing of having a relationship with. But here's the truth of Jeremiah. Just like in high school, Jeremiah presented well, but man, I was a youth group kid with a whole lot of stuff in my closet. So in high school, I was one kid. I'd show up to like three different youth groups. I was like, oh my word, I love Jesus, all this kind of stuff. But then I was running from him in every other direction that I could. To the point where then I get to Bible college, same thing. Bible college, you're supposed to be holy. You study scripture. You're supposed to do all these things. I was like, yeah, I love Jesus. And then I was going to the club on Wednesday nights. And then I graduate college, and then I start volunteering in youth group. I'm like helping kids and loving and listening to them and all these things. And then competed and did the same behavior on Wednesday nights. So I go to youth group, get out of youth group, and then go out and party with my friends. And the reason I'm telling you that is because the truth of the matter is many of us can present well to who God is or what the moral side is and completely shun the truth of obedience in our day-to-day lives. Do you know what I mean? You can completely avoid obedience in when it matters and have a moral present to everybody else. One of the teachers I listened to remind me, though, of that Scripture often speaks to the depth of our human condition. There's some grime to Scripture. If you read Scripture and you don't see, man, this is messed up. This is how messed up we actually are. This is what we actually do to people. If we miss that in Scripture, then we are not reading Scripture fully. You see, our lack of seeing what God saved us from can easily lead to a moving line of obedience. If we don't process what God saved us from, right? Not just hell, but all the heartache and all the pain and all the things that he now brings redemption to. If we don't actually process what God has saved us from, I can move my line of obedience to whatever I want. Does that make sense? I can be real obedient when I want to in areas I want to be, but when it matters, I go, I don't really need to, right? Because I can move my line. I went to youth group, praised Jesus, sang the songs, hung out with the kids, and then would go out right after. Those two don't match. Right? And so I want to first recognize for some of you that are in the room, I had many of your kids in youth group. And so I recognize the truth of the matter is going, God worked through us even when I'm still running from him. That's God. Okay? And so I want to give you some background to get into Zephaniah. So we're going to throw some stuff up here on the screen. Okay? Josiah is king. Some of you might have heard Josiah before. Okay? He started being king at 8. He first heard the word of God at 26. So he was king of Israel, but the first time he ever heard of the word of God was at 26, is what I did my math for him. His response immediately as far as hearing God's word was repentance and obedience. He heard God's word and immediately changed the course. He was king of Israel, did not know God's word, and all of a sudden they find God's word and then his whole life changes. From that point, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He did not turn to the right or to the left. He shed the sins of his father, who was an evil king, and no king after him turned towards God. So all the kings after him did not turn towards God. And he reigned from 640 BC to 609 BC. Zephaniah, who is the prophet during this time, means Yahweh. Yahweh has hidden or protected. And this is where it gets crazy. We've already studied some of these guys. Zephaniah is at the same time period of Jeremiah, Nahum, and Habakkuk. All of these men, right, are writing scripture. All of them are calling out to their people. So there's multiple prophets saying the same thing, saying to the people, turn. Turn. And so the key phrase that you're going to see in this section of scripture is the day of the Lord. And so in Zephaniah chapter 1, right, it starts with the word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah. And then verse 2, I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of the heaven, fish and the sea. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth. I will stretch out my hand against Judah. Okay. So my first point in this whole thing is that we, like the other books of the Bible, we have to recognize that God is both fully judge and he seeks to restore us. God is both fully judge and he seeks to restore us. The phrase day of the Lord that's got throughout this time or throughout this first section of scripture, it says it's similar to a lot of parts of scripture. You'll hear it. We see it in creation with the seventh day and his rest because everything is good. We see it in Passover while the Israelites are in captivity and they have to put blood on the doorposts. Throughout the prophets, the day of the Lord, especially in the book of Joel, speaks to a coming judgment, but there's hope that is attached to it. And so we can easily see how sometimes we can get stuck on pieces of scripture and go, oh man, this is where I want, this is what we need to be doing, and lose sight of the whole of scripture. So many of us grew up in a culture. Does anybody know what means turn or burn? You've probably heard some phrases, right? Fire and brimstone, right? And so many churches, especially growing up in a moral society, would go turn or burn, right? You either turn towards God or you're going to hell, okay? And so many people grew up in that, and then they turn and ran from the church because of it. Because all they heard was that. Be right or you're going to die, which is partially true. But churches built almost their whole ministry on that concept of going, God's justice, which is not bad. It's part of who God is. But the more I realized, the more time I spent in this scripture, when I hear God's judgment of people, I never hear the hope that it calls me to. Here's what many of us hear. You hear this section of scripture, right? We hear like God's going to sweep everything away. God's going to cut mankind off. And I go, oh crap. Am I good enough? Have I done enough? Right? But what we never, or what I struggle to recognize is justice is a call to hope. God's justice, God's who he is, being a just God, calls you to hope. Because when he's disciplining, when he's bringing pain, when he's bringing justice, it's saying, if you turn to me, I'll carry you. I have grace. I have love and mercy for each of you. If you would just trust me and turn instead of just running. His judgment of Israel's sin, the sin of those around them, the countries around them, and then just the indictment of evil as a whole, that's what he was at. That's what he was doing. And so as a parent, I am always trying to discipline so that they learn the heart of the matter. Right? A lot of times, we just want somebody to stop doing something. Right? It's behavior modification versus heart change. And so as a parent, the hope of discipline is the opportunity for the child to turn, to understand why they're doing it, not just to not repeat the behavior. You see, consequences, they have to be handed out. We understand that. We understand that justice is important. But the hope is that the next time their heart has turned, instead of just, oh, I shouldn't do that. Do you ever see the difference? The difference of a heart of a child when they recognize the pain that's there versus the ones who are just recognizing, oh, I'm going to get in trouble. The consequence must be handed out to help understand justice, but the hope is that they don't, that their heart turns for the next time, because there's always a next time. And so that's why grace brings so much hope for us. When we see that, man, God's at work handing out justice, there's always grace that it goes with it that says, come back, turn, whatever you're working through. And so each of those moments when I was trying to play both sides of the coin, each of those things where I was saying, you know what, I can do this and I can do this, my heart was simply saying, God, I don't need you. God, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I don't need you. No one knows. I've got this covered. Grace brings hope. And this is why resurrection is all throughout Scripture, is because each place that death is present, there is hope for him to turn. And so in Zephaniah 1, we hear this, man, God, what are you doing? God's sweeping away, right? God speaks of sweeping away everything. And like many of us, we are usually in two camps when we hear justice, okay? One of two camps. Number one, neither is inherently wrong, but many of us, like me, are like, oh man, God's at work, justice is about to be handed out. Am I safe? Have I done enough? Have I actually, like, did I trust Jesus enough? This is when you would see people give their heart to Jesus many times, and they would go up forward. Has Jesus actually paid it all? And can I actually trust him? This plays out consistently in fear, anxiety, and worry. If you have fear, anxiety, and worry in your relationship with Jesus, there's probably a portion of this where you don't trust him that he paid the price for your sin. And you're usually filled with, like me, am I doing enough? I better do a little more. I need to accomplish enough to make sure he counts me in. I need to do this, right? And then we see comparison. We see other people doing this and we go, oh, wow, they're doing all that. Or they pray out loud, or they do this, or they do that. And you start going, I'm nowhere near there. Or you're the other side of the coin, right? So there's people that are going, have I done enough? And then the other side of the coin is my people who are justice heavy. Anybody know somebody that's justice heavy? What it looks like, they want to see justice handed out. They go, yeah, get them. Yeah. Get them. Oh, there. Yeah, absolutely. That one over there. Yeah, that one definitely needs God's justice, right? They go, man, I can't wait for God to get all y'all because I'm good. Most of us don't know those things, but we probably thought about those people or thought about people that are similar. Or we thought about, man, God, I hope you burn that one extra crispy. You all probably haven't done that. That's me. But it wants to see justice handed out and every one of them get what they deserve. This lacks the heart of the Father to see all turn. And that as long as there is breath in some lungs, their hope is for all of us to turn to the King. And usually this means if you struggle with forgiveness, you might be high on the justice meter, but you struggle to see his heart for people to turn back to him. They lack the same grace that Jesus gives generously to them. And they rarely care about those who don't know Jesus yet. And this is why we have to allow the Spirit to open us up to the fullness of our King. Left alone, we will pick and choose the parts that mean whatever we want us to mean. We pick the parts of the Bible that we go, they matter to us, they make us feel good, whatever they are. And this is vital for us to put our hope in Jesus, not our version of Jesus that we like. Because morals slip, but journeys last. And my hope today is to take a minute and go, okay, morals are really good. Morals are important. But if you're like me, I put most of my faith in my morals, not in Jesus. It matters. Because I might have a high moral meter, but I have no heart for who the King is. I might have a high moral meter. I might be able to say I did all these things, right? And you can look at the rich young ruler in with Jesus and say that similar thing. God, I've done all these things. I've stayed away from this. I've done this. I have a high moral meter, but I've never taken a step of faith. And so a lot of times, especially when we talk about discipline, we talk about those kind of things, we go, are we trying to allow God to turn our hearts? Or are we just trying to not repeat behavior? And so if your heart is only set in your morals, then we're going to struggle. We're never going to have to take a step. If your faith is in your morals, your country, you're anything other than Jesus, we have made ourselves king. And this is why we believe we have to wreck our kingdoms to build his. Parenting has taught me so much about faith and my lack of it. Over and over, it has been repeated to me that it's easier to teach a rule versus work for the heart. Morals are important, but left unconnected to the heart who teaches us what is right and wrong, then we set up repetition and not relationship. Morals are important, but left unconnected to the heart of Jesus, we set up repetition, not relationship. It's more wisdom to avoid trouble than it is relationship. The people of Israel had all kinds of traditions that told them what is right and wrong. They had structures of calendar. Man, this is how we need to act. This is how we need to do things. This is all to remind us who God is. They had a proud structure that allowed them to understand who they were. They even had a claim that God was on their side. Yet their core leaders knew nothing of God. They looked more like the evil around them than those set apart by the Creator. And you know what that also sounds like? It sounds like me. And so this is why we have to constantly allow the Spirit to change our hearts. If you hear nothing else today, the question for us to work through is going, when's the last time you took a step of faith? When's the last time you took a step of faith? This whole structure, our whole model is built off of us understanding and loving each other, but pushing each other to take a step of faith. And so in Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3, we see a little bit of these people that were left behind. God says, seek the Lord, all you humble of the land who do his just commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on the day of the anger of the Lord. And so it reminds us of this, there was a remnant of people that were left. And what they were there for is, we simply know, all we know about them is that they hung to who God was. They believed in him. Seek the Lord, all the humble of the land. And so there just seems to be a portion of people who have not given in to what was around them. And so these people, they made decisions despite all that was going around them to say, you know what, God? You are the most important thing. God, you know what? You are the most important thing. And this is why I believe that steps of faith keep us focused. Us taking a step of faith keep us focused on what God's doing. And so here's the question for all of us is going, man, you had a crazy week. It was full. It was busy. All of us had a very similar week. Oh, something bad happened. Something good happened. My question to you today would be, where was Jesus in it? You see, we hear about the justice. We hear about all the things that happened. But my question would be, these people who are left behind, they were there. There's nothing left of their city. It's completely destroyed. Most people had been taken off to Babylon. It was pretty bad. Their day-to-day life was probably similar to us. So what step of faith are you called to this week? Jesus is at work, constantly speaking to your past, present, and future. We hear justice, but we lose the heart of it, the heart of justice, which is to draw us to him. And this is why over the last couple of weeks, we've always ended with the same thought process. There's hope to turn. There's hope to be restored and hope to be a part of something bigger. And so this is where the unfun part of life gets to, because we can all go, we sit here, we sing songs, we hear a little bit about scripture. But what does it change? What does it change in life? So you go back to my story at the beginning. The day of the Lord, for me, in many ways, was going, this doesn't match. You're saying one thing and living another. And it wasn't until I actually surrendered to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean anything else. It simply means that I surrendered and I stopped playing. And so for many of us, there's situations right now that you're probably thinking through. There's things that you do. There's things that you live in where your moving line of obedience, right? I can move the line because I'm moral. Your moving line of obedience keeps you from ever surrendering to what God's calling you to. I used to be able to prop myself up going, look, I volunteer at youth group. Look what I do. But until I surrendered to who God was and what he is doing, I didn't take very many steps of faith. And so I didn't have to obey because I set the obedience. I didn't have to take a step because I set the obedience. So my hope today is we finish all of this look at Old Testament scripture and we see that God is at work constantly turning our hearts, is going, who in your life do you believe that obedience can't happen in or that change can't happen in? Who are you running from in the opposite direction and saying, nah, that can't happen? Who are the things, or what are the things that you're doing? What is the day-to-day life? How are you just like Israel? Going, nah, God. The crazy thing about this time is the Israelites had convinced themselves child sacrifice is okay. Prostitution was okay. Sacrifice of people was okay. Greed, all of those things. They had fully convinced themselves that this was okay. Josiah came in and tried to clear the table. try to wipe it all away. My question for you and for me is going, where are you playing? Where's the obedience that's just going, nah, I got this, God? And so every time we're together, we spend a little bit of time with walking through a couple questions. And so I want to walk through those with you today. And so they're just very basic. Number one, if you're either fear, right, or worry or any of those kind of things, does the day of the Lord bring fear or justice in your life? Knowing that there's a moment of reckoning. And so a lot of ways, my life, it wasn't until probably mid-20s, after I graduated Bible college and played all these games, that moment happened where I go, you know what? God, I surrender. I turned. Number two, who are the people you need to pray for so you experience the full heart of the Father? Or maybe for them. Who do you need to pray for? Who are the things that you know you need to pray for and say, God, I need you to turn my heart so I can step in where you're calling me to? Number three, what is your faith connected to? Is it connected to morals? Is it connected to your parents? Is it connected? What is your faith connected to? Presenting well in public for many of us, right? All kinds of different ways we connect our faith instead of to the heart of who Jesus is. And number four, what are the things that the Holy Spirit is asking you to be doing? And we believe all the time, we hear this all the time, we are a part of the kingdom. And so if maybe none of these questions resonate with you, this week we're going to be praying for St. James Catholic Church. And we believe, man, God's at work there, and God is at work bringing all of us, hopefully as we turn to him. But I'm going to play a song, and I want to give us a minute, because when we hear all the justice over the last couple of weeks, and then we've processed, man, God's at work even in different parts of our life. If I don't verbalize it to somebody else, if I don't verbalize what I'm working through, I probably am going to struggle to actually change it. If I don't have any kind of vulnerability in my life, then I'm probably never going to change, because I can fake it with those around me. I can definitely fake it with God. And that's why we go to group, is the Lord willing, we're building relationships that actually speak to what we're actually going through. So we're going to play a song for just a minute and then give us an opportunity to process and then say, okay, God, what do you want to do? I'm going to finish with the verse that Corinne read today. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. The God of all creation, the God who created all things, sent his son and brought us into relationship. He gives us hope for today, for tomorrow, and all days going forward. And he is the one that sings over us, the one who speaks life over us and gives us hope. And so as we go out today, we don't have to walk in pain and free. We're walking towards freedom because of who Christ is. And so our hope today is going, okay, God, what do you want to do? What step do you want to take? And so always at the end, I would love the opportunity to pray with someone, to be an encouragement with you, whatever it might be. But the hope is, okay, God, how do we take a step of faith today? Will you pray with me? God, we love you. And God, Father, we need help to lift our chin to the greatness of our God. Father, I get stuck looking at things right in front of me all the time that just completely wear me out and have me chasing everything but you. And so, Father, help us today. Help us to walk towards truth. Help us to understand that you are at work bringing us closer to yourself. And Father, there is all situations for all time where you are at work and we need you. So help us. Help us to speak life. Help us to be an encouragement. Help us to see others the way you see them. We love you and thank you for your word. In your precious name, amen.
Thanks so much for listening and being a part of this community. We hope that today's message helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and live out what His Word is calling you to. Hit the subscribe button below to follow us, share with a friend, or leave a review. If you'd like to give to this ministry, you can do so at 717.church.